Something to talk about. Well, this race is certainly it when it comes to local politics and our election coming up on the 3rd of March. The race for supervisor in District 3, which covers Central Santa Rosa, the city of Rohnert Park, the most hotly contested race in this election cycle. Supervisor Shirley Zane, a two-time chair of the Board of Supervisors, looking for a fourth term in District 3, and the candidate vying for her seat, former Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Corsi. Both are in the studio this morning, and good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Lots to talk about this morning. I just want to say welcome. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate that. A lot of people want to continually hear from you, as you know, between now and Election Day, and hopefully a lot longer than that. But let's start with some opening statements from each. And Chris, would you like to go first? Do you mind if I call you each by your first names for the remainder of this?
Please do.
Okay, by you.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, Chris, opening statement from you.
Thanks, Pat, and thanks for having us. Appreciate KSRO's presence in the community and community service. I'm running for county supervisor because Sonoma County government needs to do better on our most important issues: affordable housing, homelessness, emergency preparation and response, and real climate action. Without effective policy and positive change on these issues, we're going to lose the Sonoma County that so many of us have been lucky to live in over the past decades. My grandchildren and all of our children and grandchildren deserve the opportunity to live in a place where they can find a good job, afford to pay the rent, enjoy a beautiful environment, and live a healthy and happy life. But we're watching that opportunity slip away right now for too many people. The cost of housing is out of reach for too many young people, families, and seniors. Our economy relies too heavily on tourism and service jobs, most of which don't pay enough to live here. Homelessness is at crisis levels, and some, including my own family and friends, have chosen to pursue their lives in other states. We need to change that direction, and the only way to do it is by changing leadership, by changing the way decisions are made at the top of county government. My opponent asks for your vote based on her past 11 years as county supervisor. Her case for re-election is that she's done a good enough job for three terms, so that should be good enough for a fourth term. And I say good enough isn't good enough. We need real housing policy that will focus new development in city core areas close to jobs and transit, and including a significant percentage of affordable apartments. We need a real homeless policy that gets campers out of our parks and off of our sidewalks and into decent shelter and services that will help them on a path back into their own housing. We need real climate policy that includes action to avert the crisis that is bearing down on this planet. It's our responsibility to preserve this earth for future generations. I'm running because voters deserve and democracy demands a choice in this election. I'm running for the future of Sonoma County.
All right, Chris, and Supervisor Hopkins. Shirley, if you'd like to give your opening statement.
Hopkins.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. We just talked to Linda Hopkins. Supervisor Zane.
That's
Shirley.
Okay. I don't mind being compared to Linda. Love Linda.
All right. Opening statement
so
from you.
Yes. So 12 years ago, I made this decision to run for office, and it wasn't really an easy decision, Pat, because I had this fabulous job as the CEO of the Council on Aging and the Meals on Wheels program. We had just finished building those offices and kitchen, and I could have stayed there and been very content, but I had a lot of people asking me to run for office, and I knew that what I had done there at the Council on Aging, I could even serve more people with some of those skills. So the bottom line for me has always been the same. I've wanted to be a voice for the voiceless, an advocate for seniors and kids and veterans, people with mental illness and immigrants, the disabled, domestic violence victims, the environment. And in the last 11 years, we have been able to accomplish a lot. But I also want to be mindful that I'm only 20% of a board of five. Without collaboration, without work with others, you really can't do anything. So together, just a few things that we did in the last 11 years. We opened and grew the Family Justice Center for wraparound services for domestic violence victims. We founded the mobile support team that supports law enforcement in 911 mental health calls and saves lives. And we also founded Sonoma Clean Power with the colleagues from Sonoma Water. We built and started housing for homeless, veterans, and older chronically ill homeless with the Palms Inn and also the Veterans Tiny Home Village. And we opened Taylor Mountain Park and Tole Park and got a parks tax passed for all parks. We also fought the Tubbs wildfire, housing victims, and helped those in recovery and prepared adequately for the Kincaid fire in emergency response. We developed innovative approaches to reduce homelessness along with the Homeless Outreach Services Team, Code Blue for additional shelter beds in cold times, the Safe Parking Program, and many others. And more recently, what we've done out at Los Gillicos is nothing short of a miracle. We wrote a pension reform plan and balanced 11 budgets. And we added another $1 million to the Meals on Wheels program and paved over 400 more miles to our county roads. We built and advanced the smart train, and we implemented some of the strictest regulations on air polluters and big oil to clean up their act, and started a public health committee on the Bay Area Air District Board. And we opened a crisis stabilization center and a mental health campus for emergency mentally ill patients. Again, I want to add that political rhetoric is and hope is easy, but what serving as a public servant is all about is work and collaboration.
And I'm going to have to stop you right there
because that's 3 minutes.
That's about the 3 minute mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You each mentioned homelessness, and that clearly is top of mind for everybody around here with the clearing out of the Joe Redotta Trail and the building and you know inception of the Los Gillicos site. I'd like you each to answer this question: what went wrong and what went right in that process? You first, Shirley.
Sure. Well, I think what went wrong was that we had a court injunction that really tied our hands, so we couldn't clear the trail as early as we wanted to. We were really bound by another 6 months until the hazards just became too much. But, you know, in November, the board took decisive action. We said to the staff, you need to come back to us immediately with a plan. We need to clear the trail, but not just clear the trail. We need to also place people in safe and sanitary conditions. And we really wanted to finally look at what would a safe encampment look like. So we did just that. You know, we took $12 million. And I want to remind everybody, this was on a county park trail, but it was still within the city jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So we had to work with the city. And the city police wouldn't remove people because there was that court injunction and everybody was scared of getting sued. I went out, Pat, to Los Gillicos a couple of days ago, and it is nothing short of 60 miracles. There are people there who are living in these very lovely, nothing fancy, but they have electricity, heat, a bed, and shelving. These huts that a homeless service worker program, nonprofit, put together in a matter of a week. The county staff and St. Vincent's has done a remarkable job, and each life that goes into those homes is indeed a miracle in the making. They have food, they have shelter, they have a community, they have support services there, a shuttle to take them to buy things or to doctor's appointments or whatever they need. They have hot showers. It is indeed nothing short of a miracle. And, you know, sadly, my opponent said that it was a huge mistake. Well, it wasn't. But you know what? This problem has been 40 years in the making. It is all about not having sufficient mental health services and not building enough housing. and it's a perfect storm. So we're working on it, we're working on it, we're working on it. Incremental changes. I hope we're a model for the nation when we're done.
And Chris, your thoughts on the same issue, the clearing of the Joe Rodota Trail and the building of the Los Gillicos site?
Right. Pat, I think your question to begin with was what went wrong there. And certainly the court injunction limits what local government can do when people are camping and living on public property. But that injunction dates back to 2018. It was in place long before people started gathering on the Rodota Trail. What went wrong was that the action was delayed. And the Supervisor Zane says that the city police department didn't want to get involved. This was on county property within the city. The sheriff's department didn't want to get involved because they're not part of the lawsuit and they didn't want to become part of the lawsuit. To me, that's not leadership. Leadership isn't avoiding difficult problems. It's finding workable solutions. It got to crisis levels and the Board of Supervisors decided to deal with this in a hurry at the end of the year. And I applaud them taking action, but I did not believe that the action that they took was the best action that could be taken. Putting a temporary shelter out at Los Gillicos, it only helps 60 people. Let's remember that. There were 260 people on the trail. There are 600 chronically homeless people in this county. We need to continue to find creative solutions. At some point, there's going to have to be shelters and services available and established by the county within the 3rd District of Sonoma County, at some place like the fairgrounds, or where I thought was the best option was at the county center, where this would be front and center in front of our community and our elected officials every day.
Are you talking about a permanent site?
We're going to need a site that's going to last for a long time. 90 days is not going to work. I would bet you a nickel right now that shelter at Los Gillicos will last there beyond 90 days. There needs to be more than just that one shelter. And if I were supervisor, the first one would have been at the county center. If I am supervisor and there isn't a second one yet, the second one will be at the county center.
Can I say something about that?
Sure,
since
go
I
ahead.
Was involved in that, because my opponent really didn't get a chance to survey the choices and what was wrong with the county center site. Supervisor Gorin and I did ask for looking at another site behind the jail, but the staff said they couldn't do it in time. I think that there's absolutely potential for the county center. The 3rd District has most of the concentration of both homeless and homeless services. Down at the West End, there are 3 of our biggest providers, Catholic Charities, St. Vincent's, and the Redwood Gospel Mission. And what most people don't know is that there's about 80 people living above the Redwood Gospel Mission dining site, and they're doing an incredible job. We're very lucky to have such great nonprofits. We also housed, in clearing the trail, another 150 people at COTS, Mary Isaacs, at the Gospel Center, and also at Sam Jones Hall. So we really have been addressing this. The site that had been proposed was literally backing up to a play yard at a pretty large Pollen Creek daycare center and nursery school, and that is 100% filled with poor working but trying to get ahead Latino families and kids. And we reached out to them the night before, and it was really clear that that was not going to be a good site. And the board agreed on that, and the parents certainly did agree on that. So I think the setbacks out at Los Gillicos have provided a buffer, but I certainly think that maybe we need to put the same type of shelter on the Mendocino and admin section. We have to look at that. And part of the plan, too, you know, my opponent criticized this plan, but he missed all kinds of components of it. Part of the plan is to open several smaller type of encampments, shelters, throughout the county and spread it out. But smaller, because we really, the larger they get, the harder it is to really provide that.
And I'll have to stop you at that point, yeah. Supervisor Zane, as we go to a break.
Pat, if I could,
go
just
ahead.
Real shortly.
Go ahead, Chris.
When are we going to see those smaller places? Where are they going to be? Will we only find out about them after March 3rd when people have made their choice in the election?
And with that, we will go to a break, and I'll leave you two with this question also, and that is, moving forward, how, I want to ask you how you intend to balance the needs of the homeless community with the rights of homeowners and business people in Sonoma County. We'll be right back with that. This is KSRO with current supervisor three times in the 3rd District. Shirley Zane is here, and the former mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Corsi, who would like to take over her seat. We'll be talking until 10 a.m. here on KSRO.
KSRO.
It's 9:23 at KSRO. I here in the studio with us, Supervisor Shirley Zane, 3rd District Supervisor, who is looking for her 4th term in the 3rd District, and Chris Corsi, the former Santa Rosa Mayor, who is looking for his first term in that same seat. And just before the break, we talked about continuing to talk about the homeless circumstances in Sonoma County, and the question is, how do you feel that we can best serve that population and the needs of that population and the rights of business owners and of residents in this community to have their surroundings be safe, clean, and operable? And Chris, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Pat. And the answer is the same for both the needs of the homeless and the rights of homeowners, business owners, the citizenry of the county. And that's by creating shelter and services that work for homeless folks, that allow them to live securely, safely, in good health, and get the services that they need at the same time to get back on their feet.
And how would you accomplish that as supervisor?
We need to run shelters that provide all that within and that are exemplary shelters. When the Board of Supervisors talked about where to place the shelter that's now at Los Quillicos, the conversation was about how it was a lousy choice, because the narrative was that wherever we put this shelter, it's going to be a problem for that neighborhood. These shelters should not be a problem for neighborhoods. If they are run right, if they're managed right, if they're providing the services that these people need, these shelters should be assets to neighborhoods by getting people off the streets, out of our parks, out of public places, and into safe places where they can live as members of a community. Shelters do not need to be blight. They do not need to be public health issues. They should be clean, well-run, well-managed.
Is that a matter of money or a matter of policy?
It's a matter of money, it's a matter of policy, and it's a matter of management. You have to have the right people doing it. You have to have good oversight by the Board of Supervisors and by county staff. You have to have buy-in from the community, and you have to manage it every day. That's why I thought it would be the best idea to put this at the county center, where supervisors would have their eyes on it every day, where if there were problems, that they would know about it at the minute that they got to work.
And why wouldn't that happen, Shirley?
Well, you know, it probably will. Like, again, the site behind the preschool was not an appropriate site for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I mean, my opponent talks a good talk, but when he was in office, he never offered that solution. He did a whack-a-mole approach by moving the homeless encampments from one site to another, the 6th Street Underpass, Homeless Hill Encampment. So the county has really stepped forward with a very comprehensive plan. I'm really proud of our supervisors, my colleagues. I'm proud of the staff. And he failed to mention that St. Vincent's, under the leadership of Jack Tibbetts, is doing a fabulous job out there. Plus, we have a mobile unit where we do have the county staff. So the staff will be there, absolutely, on site. And when this encampment is done, sure enough, we have those structures. We can go to other places and expand with smaller encampments. those encampments are not permanent for anybody. We want to get people back on their feet again.
What do you say to Chris's contention that the likelihood of the Los Gillicos site closing as scheduled at the end of April will not happen?
I think that remains to be seen. It's possible what the cost and what it took to put up the camp, it may extend beyond that. But I think the important part is that we really do create an encampment that is not only safe for the surrounding communities, and that is always a concern, but has also provided the type of assistance and dignity to those 60 miracles that are out there and really want a second opportunity to live a life with dignity and shelter and jobs. So and that's really what we're doing out there. And it's really sad that he keeps lobbying grenades but never offered any
well,
solutions.
Well, let's ask this, Chris. Yeah. What could you do as supervisor that you couldn't do as mayor? How more effective could you be on this issue of homelessness?
Well, traditionally, Pat, the city of Santa Rosa has not been a social service provider. The county, in California, most of the time, it's counties that are providing social services, not cities. While I was on the council, we increased our budget for homeless shelter and services from $750,000 in my first year to more than $3 million in my last year.
And we've got about 30 seconds to wrap up on this
issue. We increased that budget fourfold. What the county can do that the city can't do is wrap in the other social services, the mental health services, the public health services. So the county has much more control over the budgets of, well, it has all the control over the budgets of those departments, so it can do more. Also, the city and county got together last year and created a new homeless leadership council where all of this is supposed to be happening. The Board of Supervisors in December went around that council. This issue needs to get back to where it belongs, to the Homeless Leadership Council. And I would be doing that, and I hope to serve on that when I'm supervisor.
We're going to talk about money, where it's coming from, how much is there, how is it being spent. That is going to be next on tap for Supervisor Shirley Zane and former Mayor Chris Corsi. That's coming up on KSRO.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Are you reeling in the years?
It's 9:35 at KSRO. I'm Pat Kerrigan, Jeff Woodworth at the producer's desk, and Supervisor Shirley Zane is here. She would like to be reelected as supervisor in District 3. Former mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Corsi, is here. He would like her seat instead. So the two of them are here. We're talking about issues of the day and issues that matter to us. And let's talk about money, because this is an expensive campaign. Where do we stand? How much money, Shirley, have you gotten into your campaign thus far? What's your war chest?
I don't know the totals in the last month, because we're bringing in lots of money, but it also goes out the door as fast as we bring it in. I know it's well over $200,000.
Okay.
So along a ballpark, more or less.
Okay. And Chris,
probably more than that.
What about you?
Well, the last campaign finance reports were filed about 10 days ago. And Shirley and I basically raised about the same amount of money since I got into the race in April. She started with a head start. She had almost $100,000.
Yeah, it was a big jump at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been keeping up, and we're feeling really good and strong at this point.
And let's talk about other monies coming into the race. And this one was a head scratcher to me, Chris. Conversation, or at least some talk in the end of last week about money wanting to come in to support your campaign, something about oil and gas contributors. And let's talk about how much money that was, and your response to it.
Well, first, let's make it clear that there was zero money attached to that, or at least there has not been any money attached to that so far. Chevron, Phillips 66, and Marathon Oil Company filed what's called an independent expenditure committee last week, and they said they were filing it in favor of me. It is not a qualified committee yet, and a qualified committee means that it has raised more than $1,000.
Okay.
So I do not know why. I could speculate, but I don't know these people. I have not talked to them, and I've specifically told them to butt out of this race, that their interference is not welcome in Sonoma County, and I reject their support and their money.
So regardless of whether specific monies are actually offered to your campaign, you will turn that down?
Well, they won't offer money to my campaign. An independent expenditure is, quote, unquote, independent.
Gotcha.
Well, and I want to add to that, too, that, yes, independent expenditures are absolutely separate from campaigns. Neither of us asked for outside help. I can't help that realtors support me. And he can't help.
You asked for the realtors' support.
That big oil supports you, and so did you. You didn't get their endorsement,
but you got their support. You just said you didn't ask for it.
Let's just point out that the National Association of Realtors contributed about $156,000
realtors are
to yours.
Our community, yeah. But I had nothing to do with it, and you can't stop that. And he can't stop big oil supporting him either, and it sounds like they're ready to do it. And let me just tell the listeners that if they want to know why, they should go to zaneforsupervisor.com and read Dirty Oil. The reason why doesn't have to do with my opponent. It has to do with me. They want me off the air board because I have been a fierce regulator of clean air. And it'll give some of those facts. And so it doesn't matter if they'd still support him.
I think we all understand that when monies in that proportion are given to any campaign, there's a reason for it besides altruism.
Let's be clear
about where you stand. You're not going to take money from oil and gas, correct?
Well, let's be clear that there has been no money from oil and gas.
And
Let's also be clear that I'm supported by the Sierra Club. I'm supported by Sonoma County Conservation Action, the most active environmental group in this community. I am not a friend of big oil. I won't be a friend of big oil, no matter how much money, if they put any money into this, I will not be their friend. Shirley acts as if that I would do something differently on the air board if I were even appointed to the air board. But the fact is, I am the environmental candidate in this race. I will not be big oil's friend.
Well, Mr. Corsi, and you're the environmental candidate. That's off thinking awfully high of yourself. The truth
is that Carol
Hart, who probably is the most prominent environmentalist, not to mention the chair of the tribe, Greg Saras, and a few others. The Sierra Club, yes, they're a very small organization, unfortunately, in Sonoma County. I wish they were larger because they've done great work nationwide. But here's the thing. Independent expenditures are absolutely separate from our campaign. Am I proud to have local realtors support me? You bet. On the big
Chicago oil
side.
This is the National Association of Realtors,
side.
Though,
well, that's
Shirley.
Where the money
what
comes
do you
from.
Think they want
that's
from
the
you?
That's where money comes from.
What would they like to see from their supervisor in
you? I don't know.
You?
That's a very good question. Because, again, this is an independent campaign from my campaign. I think they appreciate that I talk to them. Clearly, my opponent went after them as well and didn't get their endorsement. But again, I just want to say if your readers or your listeners want to read about the story, they should go to zaneforsupervisor.com and read about Dirty Oil, because it's not about my opponent. It's about the fact that they're afraid of me being on the air board for another 4 years, given the fact that I have been provided fierce leadership against them, fierce leadership, including
Let me ask you something, too, and I know this had to take money. This is what I saw in Sunday's paper yesterday. It's an insert, Shirley Zane for supervisor. It's about 24 pages of an insert, and I don't know if I've ever seen that before in a local election, whether somebody has come forward. How much did that cost?
Too much is the answer, but actually... all of my colleagues, I believe, Supervisor Rabbit, Supervisor Hopkins, and Supervisor Gore, not Supervisor Gorin, have all had similar publications.
They all have the same political consultant.
24 pages is a lot. Yeah, they do. Good consultant, by the way. 24 pages is a lot, but there's a lot to talk about. You know, when you spend 10 years on a board and you've been able to work with people and collaborate with people to have all these accomplishments, we wanted to share that with the public. I haven't heard my opponent talk about his record, and I haven't heard my opponent talk much about solutions and what he would do.
Well, we're going to ask about solutions. Let me switch over and sort of.
So maybe he should offer some record and solutions.
Let's talk about the situation with affordable housing or the lack of affordable housing. And I'd like to get each of your opinions on solid answers to what happens next, because we cannot continue to have the exodus that we are experiencing right now, people who can no longer afford to live here. And it goes in addition to a lot of the service personnel on whom we rely, our economy relies in this community. They go from that vantage point to young professionals who can't afford to live here. So as supervisor, the next step you each would take in order to combat the affordable housing issue. And Chris, let's start with you.
Thanks, Pat. And I'm glad that Supervisor Zane brought up solutions, because in her 24 pages there, there's not one forward-looking statement about what solutions are. She talks about what she has done, not about what the next 4 years will be. Under my guidance, the supervisors will be looking hard at housing. And affordable housing is my focus. Building affordable housing at scale is my focus. Supervisor Zane's housing policy is build, baby, build. It's not a policy, it's a slogan. My policy is to use the Renewal Enterprise District to combine the resources of the county and its cities to create affordable housing at scale, higher, denser, more affordable buildings in city cores, not out on the edges of cities, not out on bare farmland, but using city and county property for leverage with builders to subsidize affordable housing, which is the only way affordable housing gets built. I have a housing policy. In fact, I have policy on a lot of issues on my website, CorsiForSupervisor.com. I've written thousands and thousands of words about what I will do as supervisor. When you look at Supervisor Zane's website, when you look at her 25-page newspaper that she put out, not just to newspaper readers on Sunday, but to mailboxes throughout the district. A lot of people have received this twice now. There are no ideas in there about what will happen in the future. It's all about the past. As I said, I'm running for Sonoma County's future.
Well, that's really nice political rhetoric, Chris, but I actually demonstrate results. And while you were in office, you did vote against hundreds of units of housing.
That is a lie. Where did you find that?
You might want to go back and look at your record.
I know what my
record
is.
So the point is that what have I done and what will I do? I am on the board for the Renewal Enterprise District. The person who was my assistant for 8 years runs the Renewal Enterprise District. It's one tool out of many. What I know about housing, and I've been doing it for many years because I did it at the Council on Aging, is that you need a lot of different supports, a lot of different resources. State leveraging funding is great. We don't have redevelopment. We need the tax fund dollars too. A lot of developers don't even know how to use that. We have to come together in a community and stand up to people who don't want the housing anymore. And I understand there's a really strong feeling that they don't want any more housing here. There's no perfect place for housing. The high density, transit oriented housing, absolutely, we need that. But we need all housing, including market rate, because we're so short. And when people move into that market rate housing, it frees up more affordable units as well. So I absolutely have been working on this, and I've had results. We've had over 200 veterans that have been taken off the street and put into transitional and supportive housing. Over 200 veterans, and then another 40 critically ill homeless people. That's affordable housing.
All right, we're going to break right here because we need to
I just want to say, Pat.
Take a break.
During my time on the city council, we approved 2,000 units of housing in Santa Rosa. More than 1,200 of those have been built. There are 3,000 units of approved housing that have not yet been built in Santa Rosa. If Shirley wants to talk about results, those are the results that I produced when I was on the city council.
It is 9:47 at KSRO. We're going to wrap this up as much as we can wrap a thing like this up after this. 9:50 at KSRO. I am in studio with Supervisor Shirley Zane, former Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Corsi, up for the 3rd District Supervisory position in March. And a question about Measure I for each of you. I think this should be a quick subject. The extension of the smart sales tax, yay or nay?
Absolutely yay, Pat. I've been on the smart board for 10 years now. And it's a brand new transit system. We're doing great. Those trains are full the first hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning. We need it for tourism. We need it for transportation. We need it for business. We need it to reduce the GHG emissions. I'm really proud that I was able to work with the tribal chair and the Grayton tribe to infuse that Measure I with $1 million. So the train is just starting. Be patient with us. And this is nothing more than an extension of the sales tax.
I'm going to take that as a yes.
Absolutely.
And Chris, you were intrinsically involved with the concept of SMART before SMART ever took to the tracks. Your position on Measure I.
I absolutely support Measure I. I support SMART. I put my blood, sweat, and tears into that as a staff member before SMART was anything more than an idea on paper. I would like to hear SMART be more transparent with the voters, be more honest with their storytelling. One of the key things about SMART that is not mentioned often enough is that the sales tax is why it exists. Without that sales tax, going forward well into the future, as long as I can see into the future, we need that sales tax. Extending it now does not increase the tax, it only extends it. And I will be supporting it on March 3rd.
Okay, one quick question for you before we get to closing statements. Is it weirder when you go through this sort of an exercise, politically speaking, when you've dated in the past? Does it make it stranger or tougher on each of you? Yes or no?
That's a very personal question.
It is.
So I'm not going to comment on it.
Okay. Chris? Yeah.
You know, we've been able to keep this campaign professional. We've been able to keep our professional relationship professional. As I served on the city council for 4 years. I was the mayor when Shirley was the chair of the board. We have a professional relationship that works in our personal relationship. Is 6 years in the past, and it's not part of this campaign.
Thank you very much. Okay, closing statements from each of you, 2 to 3 minutes apiece. And Shirley, let's start with you.
Yeah, thank you, Pat, for having us today. You know, being a public servant is really hard work. You work 7 days a week. You work well into the evening. It's making mistakes and taking risks. And in the end, you want to improve the quality of life for everybody through the jobs and the roads and emergency services, and especially taking care of the most vulnerable, which is why I ran for office 12 years ago. I think we've demonstrated through a multitude of accomplishments that we understand that, because political rhetoric is easy, but the work and the collaboration is what my campaign's about. It's a decade of service, and it's about being able to work with people in a way that brings results. I'm proud to be a voice for the voiceless And I'm not done yet. We're really beginning to make strides in terms of the mental health services on all different levels, on the private and the public side, the state funding. Those relationships that we've been able to forge means a great deal to me. It's not an accident that all four of my colleagues and the majority of my opponent's colleagues have endorsed me, or that both our congressmen, or that both our state senators, or that working people such as nurses, California Nurses Association, the Santa Rosa firefighters, farmers, carpenters, environmentalists, builders, and labor groups, that they've all stepped up and said, Shirley, you're the one. We want to work with you for the next 4 years, and we've got a lot more work to do. And I'm really proud of working with the four supervisors that I work with. We don't agree on everything, but we sure well work well together.
Very good. Thank you, Shirley Zane. And Chris Corsi, your final thoughts?
Pat, I've been intimately involved in this community for 40 years. I came here as a young man to take a job at the Press Democrat, and I spent 27 years working at the newspaper. Covering politics, covering county government, but also getting to know the neighborhoods, the back roads, the people of this community in real intimate terms. I know this community in a way that is unique as far as elected officials go in this county. When I left the newspaper in 2007 and went to work for SMART, I took a risk because I saw something that this community needed, and I wanted to get involved in that. I wanted to get more involved in the community. When I ran for the city council in 2014, I ran not because I wanted a career in politics, but because I saw a problem that I thought needed to be solved. A dysfunctional council, a dysfunctional city organization that needed some calm, proactive leadership that cared more about getting things done than about winning arguments. With the other council members, we were able to turn the council around into a city that Gavin Newsom in his inaugural, and I'll quote him, that Santa Rosa is a city that does things right. I see real problems at the county government level, and I'd like to bring my skills to bear on those. The mental health and behavioral health department, public health, health services department, behavioral health department has serious, serious structural problems. It also needs more resources. Shirley wants to take a tax measure to the voters and ask them to put more money into mental health. I know that mental health can use that money, but right now it has a structural deficit that has gone unaddressed by the Board of Supervisors for 5 or 6 years in a row. Those kind of things need to be fixed before the voters are asked to fix them with their wallets. I'm running for the future. I'm not running on my past. I'm running for my vision for the future of this county.
Chris Corsi is the former mayor of Santa Rosa. Shirley Zane, the current supervisor of the 3rd District on the Board of Supervisors. Thank you both for being with us, and I encourage everybody to get out and vote. That's why we do this kind of thing, and I think you would both agree that getting out and casting your vote is imperative to the future of our community. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Good to have you here. And we will talk more about the issues in this election and the other races that are going on, too. This one is getting certainly the majority of the talk and the attention and the energy and the money. And so we were happy to bring it to you first, but we will continue to do so between now and the 3rd of March. This is an important week, too, because as you will be finding in your mailboxes, the mail-in ballots are going out beginning today. And for many people, by the end of the week, they will have cast their votes. So that's why we're putting a rush order on presenting the candidates and the issues to you, both sides of the same, between now and the next couple of weeks. And on KSRO The Drive, we'll be doing something very similar. So we encourage you to pay attention to your community and watch out for your community and cast your votes. I have had a great working relationship with both of these individuals for a couple of years now. And frankly, at this moment, I'm glad I don't live in the 3rd District, so I don't have to cast a vote for either one of them. But if you do live live there, then please, please get out and vote. That is the, you know, that's the drum we're going to be banging between now and the 3rd of March. Local elections matter, local elections count, and local elections have a very distinct, leave a very distinct mark on the future of our communities. So thanks for being with us today. We will put this up on the KSRO website and Facebook page if you missed any part of it or want to listen to it again. In the meantime, we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Remember, go out and make it a great Monday. See you later.